Well, everyone, it is Thursday, and today is another episode of Naturally Unbothered, but today it's not really going to be a fun episode because some real serious stuff has been happening in the news, and it's just time for us to take a serious stance on what's been going on. So I'm Shari, Lisa and Julian are also here.
I am the most incredible Julian.
Oh my God. Here we go. And it has been 25
seconds. He wouldn't be himself if he didn't, Shari.
Yeah, did y'all peep how I went into my Devontae swing voice? Yeah, this is Julian.
Anyway. Can't even take it serious. What's everybody drinking tonight?
Well, I am having my usual, my water with lemon.
Oh my gosh. Lisa, what are you drinking?
You know what? Actually, I'm not even drinking tonight.
Okay. Well, yeah. I am drinking Big Brother's hard root beer.
That sounds good.
So it's basically root beer with liquor in it. It's great.
Right.
Oh, okay.
All right. Anyway, so let's get on to this serious topic. I'm just going to give a little disclaimer because a lot of the people who have been listening to us for several months now, they know that anything will come out of any of our mouths. You are not allowed to hold us accountable for half or even a smidgen of the shit that we say. Our opinions change from episode to episode and minute to minute.
Absolutely.
So in this moment, this is how the fuck we feel about this bullshit ass Dallas police officer chick, Amber Geiger, and her killing a 26-year-old man, Botham Jean, in his house where he lay his head because she got mixed up about where she was, so she claimed. But before we get down deep and dig into it, we're going to fast forward into 2 years and a month afterwards. Julian, you want to shame somebody.
Yeah, we need to shame Mrs. Kemp's ass. Y'all don't know who Mrs. Kemp is. Mrs. Kemp is the judge that did the sentencing in the courtroom. Not only did she sentence this woman who went inside this man's home while he was sitting on his couch in his drawers eating ice cream on a Friday night, she sentenced this woman to 10 years. First degree murder, 10 years. But that's not even the big, that's not even the part that got me pissed, that's pissed off worthy. She got her ass off the bench and came down and gave this girl a hug.
And what?
Wow.
And gave her a Bible. Now, I have been, unfortunately for me, I have been going to court off and on ever since I got my first speeding ticket in 2002. And I've been watching a shitload of court TV episodes where motherfuckers get sentences. Sentenced to 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 85, 105, 2,000 years in prison. And I have never seen a judge get their ass up off the bench to come and console and hug somebody that they just sentenced for murder. That was horrible and that was despicable. And when I saw the interview that she gave, I wanted to take the TV that I was watching it on, mm-hmm. drive down I-85 here in Charlotte, North Carolina, mm-hmm. and just toss that motherfucker out the window. Oh. She said in her interview.
What'd she say, Julian?
That the only thing that she regrets is that the girl had to ask her twice for a hug.
Wow.
She didn't realize that when she asked her for a hug, she literally was thanking her for sparing her for the rest of her life. That's what she was doing.
Pretty much.
That's just some old slave mentality. Like, you did me this favor, so come on down here and get your reward.
Manny. That's what we got. Manny. That's all I could think of was Manny. And I know that we're not shaming her as well, but there was the officer that was in the courtroom brushing this girl's goddamn hair.
Yeah.
Oh my God. This was.
And rubbing her back.
This was despicable.
I mean, this here, y'all got one. Here it is. A lady shoots a gun in the air. The bullet, it didn't hit nobody. Nobody even found a shell. And she spent 20 years in prison for shooting air.
And she was a victim of domestic violence too, might I add, that the police had been to that residence, you know, on numerous occasions because of her and her lover, whoever he was at that time. And she had been a victim of domestic violence.
Yes.
But there are some, but when I read that, I'm kind of familiar with that story. There are so many different things at play with that particular. I mean, it's egregious. At best, it's egregious that she received 20 years for that.
And then kill a whole human being chilling in his own house, no cares in the world.
And you get a hug.
10 years.
A hug. Damn, the 10 years. The hug is what, I mean, you gave her a hug and you went down and cried and prayed with her and gave her a Bible. How many black males that have come through your courtroom that you have sentenced with no remorse? You didn't bat an eye for them, but you got your ass off the bench to give this girl that murdered somebody in cold blood. Not only did she get 10 years, she got her hair fixed while she was in court and got a hug and a Bible.
Wow.
This man says she got her hair fixed. Like,
she got her hair fixed while she was in the courtroom. And when the judge gave this girl 10 years in prison, the girl didn't bat an eye. She didn't. It was just awful. But yeah, that's you know, the judge, Miss Kemp, you some bullshit, Miss Kemp. You
shame.
You some bullshit.
Shame the fuck on you. Shame that hoe. Shame her.
Shameful. You shameful piece of. You are. You know, and I know I shouldn't say this because I respect strong and professional, intelligent women. But ma'am, you a real piece of shit. And I say that in the most disrespectful way possible. How dare you? How dare you? You are a real piece of shit.
In the most disrespectful
way, in its purest form. You
I agree with you on the part of being disrespectful, because the family being in the courtroom, and this is lost to them, and they said on the news that the family had to step out several times because of their grieving.
Okay, let's pause it.
You know,
we got to pause it. Pause. Wait a minute. Let me get back control of this. Okay. Let's push pause. Time out. Let's push pause. Okay, family. Listen, we have to stop because this is about to go where we're trying to go. So we have shame to judge. Shame on you, judge. Judge shame. Let's stop. Okay, now let's start. Okay, let's start all over because Lisa was about to take us there. So let's go back to September 6, 2018, when Mr. Gene gets someone walking into his apartment. I can only imagine the look on his face when there was just some woman in his apartment pointing a gun at him and shooting him. The news comes on, bam. Dallas police officer mistakes a neighbor for someone being in her apartment and kills him. Everybody's initial reaction. Go.
Awful.
Lisa, first thought.
Yes, please.
First thoughts when you heard it. What was your reaction?
I question whether or not she actually knew him, or whether or not she was involved with him, or whether or not she had wanted to be involved with him and he rejected her. I just didn't know at the time exactly what was happening.
Right.
Because there wasn't enough detail, and sometimes, you know, women do things intentionally because of rejection or because of they were initially involved and then the person didn't want to be involved with them anymore. So I wasn't quite sure what was happening and why, because I had a problem with, she didn't have a red rug at her door, but the door that she went to had a red rug. How did you miss that? And how do you walk into somebody's house and you don't see your own furniture?
Exactly.
I mean, that's the first thing I would have said. You know what I'm saying? I'm in the wrong place. I don't know. I didn't get it. I still don't get it to this day.
You're a police officer. We understand
that. You're supposed to pay attention to detail.
Yeah, you don't get to make that mistake.
Right.
You are a police officer. And so you know, part of your job description, I would think, is to be able to pay attention to detail.
Come on now. Y'all have must have washed out half of reality. They've been mistaking cell phones, freaking anything that they can, just your hands moving, period. ID cards, license to carry cards, and everything else for guns. Do you really think this woman who was high and drunk, when she walked in, would be able to notice a rug or that her furniture had, somebody had completely made over her apartment? Would you think that she would not be able to, you know, I can't believe y'all thought she would be able to see that.
I don't see why she wouldn't.
No, I mean,
she was texting her boyfriend, who was a married man at the time. You know, I mean, she wasn't that goddamn drunk. She needed to be in communication with some dick. I mean, come the fuck on here now. Let's not, you know, come on. She wasn't that goddamn drunk. She knew she was coherent enough to know, hey, I'm drinking. I need some dick.
Yeah. And my thing is that even when she walked in, the mishap of walking into somebody else's apartment that wasn't locked, the door wasn't locked, wouldn't you talk with that person instead of just immediately reacting by shooting them?
Why is a burglar going to be sitting in your house eating and watching TV? Like, what kind of guy does that?
In his drawers. Let's not forget the fact that he was sitting in his drawers eating ice cream on a Friday night in his underwear, chilling. Like, who the hell breaks in somebody's house and does that?
You know what? I'm going to go break in this house over here. I'm about to eat their ice cream, sit on their mother's
couch. Sorry, don't get home. Yeah, sorry, don't get home to 11 o'clock tonight. So, you know, she worked that 3 to 11 shift. So, I'm going to just chill till she, you know. What? Nah, but yeah, that was just despicable. All right.
So she just does the 911 call, and she's just all, oh my gosh. And everybody's like, this poor officer. Immediately.
And she didn't. Yeah.
Immediately. They started defending her.
Right.
Started trying to find any dirt they could find on this young man. But guess what? There was none to be found.
There was none.
There was nothing to be found. And all the pictures that you find, he's in a graduation outfit. Everything that you find on this young man is so positive that it's just like, oh my gosh, we gotta dirty this up some kind of way.
Yeah. By all accounts, from his family members and friends and people that knew him, he was like Jesus. The man, you know, he was singing in the choir. I mean, think about this for a second. Let's just take a moment to process this. You have a 26-year-old single black man that has his own place in his house eating ice cream on a Friday night. Do you know how much of a square you got to be doing that? I mean, I'm just, you know, I mean, if that don't tell you the character, if that don't tell you what type of person he was, this man was in his house on a Friday night. Do you know at 26 years old what I would have been doing in my own apartment on a Friday night? I'm just saying, you know what I'm saying? So, and then the thing about it is what they were trying to do, they allowed this woman to go get in the car and erase text messages.
Yes.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And see, that part I wasn't aware of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Trust me, it's a whole lot. Yeah.
Especially when they start going through her computer and all the stuff, the things that she was posting, the racist things that she were posting. It just kept progressively getting ugly and uglier and uglier to the point where they was like, yo, we have got to let you go. We got to cut our losses. The police department was like,
we're finding more dirt
on you than we're finding on him.
Yeah, I mean, and not to mention that when she shot this man in the chest twice, sent a mass, and I want people have to understand this, because I learned this. I learned this by my professors. Two of my professors. One of them was the former assistant district attorney for Chatham County, and the other one was a former. He was actually police chief for Pooler, and then he later became the interim chief for Savannah Metro. But one thing that people have to realize about police officers, when they say, oh, well, why couldn't you shoot him in the leg, or why you couldn't shoot him in the arm, that's not how police officers are trained. Police officers are trained to kill. They are trained send a mass. There's a threat, eliminate the threat. So, you know, when she came in, could she have just unholstered her weapon and say, hey, what are you doing here? And at that moment, that's when she would have realized, oh, I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong. But she shot him. It's my opinion. She shot him because she didn't see any value in him. That's the way I feel.
Your thoughts, Lisa?
I don't know. I just feel like it's a little bit more deeper. And it's because they in the same building, and she was already involved with the married man. I don't know whether or not this lady made any type of pursuit slip toward this guy, and he didn't acknowledge them. Mm-hmm. But I just feel like it's something a little bit more deeper going on there that hadn't been brought to the light, because I just find it hard to believe that you can walk into somebody else's home and claim it as yours and kill that person in their own place. That's just a little hard for me to fathom, you know?
Right.
especially if you're in an elevator, you're getting off on a different floor, then you're going to a different location. You know, and I understand apartment complexes, the hallways look exactly alike, but I just find it very, very hard that you can open the door and just, you know, you identify the place as yours and then you just kill somebody. It's just hard for me. I think this lady knew this guy, or she wanted to know this guy. There's just something else going on there.
Okay. And that's what, everybody was at that point, at that same point. Like something, they must have been dating. It must have been something going on. She must have knew him. So once we got to the point where she's been fired from her job, you know, now we're moving into the court case and everything, because she was on administrative leave and then they fired her. So then now we're getting to her actually being charged, which normally, let's face it, we've got over 3 dozen or more cases now that are just made public that no one's ever even convicted. So we're happy because now we're getting they're actually going to take it to court. Like, then there's a conviction. That's where we're at.
Right.
Now. Go ahead, Julian.
Yeah, so now she's, you know, she's went to court. Now she's been convicted, but before that, let's you know, the judge, I pretty much felt like there was going to be some bullshit when the judge, first of all, the judge was very dismissive throughout these case proceedings.
Mm-hmm.
She was very nonchalant toward the district attorney.
Mm-hmm.
It just felt like some bullshit. And what she tried to do at the last minute, she allowed the jury to use at their discretion that they could use the Castle Doctrine.
Right.
For those who don't know what the Castle Doctrine is basically, if you are in someone's home,
mm-hmm.
And they're trying to ask you to leave, and you feel like you're being threatened, you feel like you're in danger, it's basically another form of stand your ground. Mm-hmm. I can stand my ground in your damn house. I mean, I can kill you. I can harm you. Texas is very, Texas and Florida, those two states, man, it's just, their laws are just not like no other.
Texas is it's not stand your ground, it's make my day in Texas, and it's stand your ground in Florida.
Right. But they're parallel.
Understand the make my day? You know where that comes from, right?
Refreshing my memory.
The movie with Burt Reynolds, you know, Make My Day.
But when I hear Make My Day, I think of some type of Wild Wild West
cowboy movie. It is.
Oh, okay.
It is. And that's where it came from. You know, some old Western, you know, make my day, shoot 'em up, bang bang type of situation. And that's the law there. And so, and you know, there's been a lot of stand your ground cases in Florida that have been publicized, but not very many are publicized in Texas, because this has been going around for not ever, but ever in Texas.
Right.
But again, people have no value that are not Caucasian. They ain't white.
Yeah.
They don't have any value. So therefore, stories are not things that are publicized in Texas. It's just so normal.
And
the other way around, too. Because don't think it's just the white people in Texas that are, you know, doing this. It black people aren't going to jail. It's not brown people, anybody. Like, this is just the norm there, period. White, black, or any race. And that's the reason why it's not getting the public recognition like in Florida, because it's white, black, Asian, it's everybody down there that if they feel threatened. You know what I'm saying? So it's normalized there. Where in Texas, I mean in Florida, it's not.
Right. Well, be that as it may, this Caucasian girl who bleached her hair blonde, she's not an original blonde. She bleached her hair blonde, and there was a reason for that. But to see, so now we're at the stage where, you know, we got the judge, you know, caping for the wretched white chick. Got the officer in the courtroom coming to brush and comb and stroke her hair. And the judge says, you guys can use the castle doctrine, yada, yada. And she's, you know, so now she's being convicted of murder in the first degree.
Mm-hmm.
The state of Texas. Here's the thing about that, though. And this is what we were paying. This is what me and a group of people I was talking to were paying attention to. In the state of Texas, if you are sentenced, so first degree murder in the state of Texas says you can be sentenced to 5 to 99 years in prison. If you are going to appeal your sentence, remember now she was out on bond. Mm-hmm. She was not serving time in jail. She was home on bond fighting this charge. The state of Texas says that if you're going to appeal your murder conviction, if you are sentenced to 5 to 9 years, you can appeal your sentence from home. But if you are sentenced to 10 years and above, you have to appeal your sentence from behind the walls. So there was a real possibility that the judge could have gave this girl 9 years and she could have been convicted of murder and walked straight home.
Say it.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. She could have gotten 9 years. They could have immediately said, okay, well, we're going to appeal this. And she would have been able, a convicted murderer, walk right out of that courtroom and go straight home.
Wow. Wow.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. 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 So, the judge sentenced her, you know, so the jury cam comes back. The jury says, the recommendation, these people on that jury, they had one job, but this is what they said. This is what they did. They said 10 years. You know, I don't, you know, oh my God. People of color make me sick sometimes. And I don't mean to sound racist, but people of color get on my nuts. How the hell? But, you know, anyway, so they come with the recommendation of 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
The judge says, okay, stand up, honey. You know, no, she didn't even have to stand up. She didn't even have to stand up. How the hell? I've never seen this in the courtroom. She sat there, found guilty, convicted of first-degree murder. The judge said, you got 10 years. Then that's when everybody in the courtroom gets all teary-eyed. And, you know, the judge, but wait a minute, I know we're moving a little too fast because we haven't even addressed, you know, the family has to give their speech and their spiel on how they feel and their grieving process.
Yes.
Sorry, I'm gonna let you start that off. I'm gonna let you go into that.
So they're giving the witness, you know, statements and family statements and stuff, and his brother comes up and gives his spiel.
Jesus.
About forgiveness, and you know, he's choosing to forgive for himself, not for his family, but for himself. He does not want to hold a grudge. He doesn't believe that she should spend not a 1 minute in jail. He feels real bad and real sorry for her. And I just want to go down there and hug her.
Can I hug her, please?
Can I please hug her, please? Your Honor, please allow me to just hug her. Because my brother wouldn't want me to be mad at her. He would want me to hug her, and he wouldn't want her to be in jail. Lisa.
Well, now, I didn't see the brother's testimony. I saw the dad, and I saw the grief and how hard it was for him to even talk about it. And then I saw
her friend.
I saw the mom, the little interview they did with her, and how sad she was because she explained how great a loss it was and that her life would never be the same after the incident. And from all the times that I saw this young lady on the television, I just feel like she was remorseful. And I don't know, maybe my mind was playing with me, but I just, the snippet that I saw with her apologizing, I just didn't feel like she was remorseful. I didn't feel like she felt like it was a great loss. And it wasn't to her. It was to that family, but it wasn't to her.
I felt like she was a piece of shit. I felt like the mama did a horrible, the mother, I don't even understand what the hell the mama was even talking about police corruption and I'm not going to be here. You know, you guys got to deal with that. I'm leaving. What the hell are you talking about, ma'am, respectfully? What the hell are you talking about? And the daddy, I want to be her friend.
They did have a and I can't remember whether it was on Extra or what, but they did have a little, there was a show that showed her a snippet of her and how great her loss was. She was speaking about how great her loss was and how her life would be saved.
I understand that, but I'm talking about what you said when we. I'm talking about what I ain't talking about the snippet. I'm talking about the whole thing. Your statement. I understand that you experienced a great loss, ma'am, but you are this man's mama. You don't come in courtroom with that shit. You come. Look, y'all need to send her ass to prison. Okay, ain't no forgiveness. I don't forgive. I'll forgive your ass after you done served maybe 30 or 40 years. I'll consider it. But right now, I need you to get your ass behind that wall, ma'am. That's why I need you to go. And the brother, you ought to be ashamed of your goddamn self. Can I just hug her, please? I just want to hug her. I hope we can be friends. What? You know what? Wow. And the daddy, he was despicable, talking about he wanted to be her friend. You know what? I would not be surprised. If they would put money on that goddamn girl books while she's in prison. I mean,
they're writing her every week.
Wow. It was just horrible. The whole thing was horrible. The judge getting off the bench, coming to hug this little girl. It was just, let me tell you something. If my mama, my daddy, and my brother in court hugging my murderer, I'ma haunt the hell out their ass. They'll be coming soon. They'll be on the other side with me soon, cause I'ma run their ass crazy. We're gonna have a real paranormal activity moment in on this bitch.
Well, God forbid that happens, Julian.
Yeah, God forbid it, but I'm telling you, if it does, you let me in the courtroom, they hug it. I just want to be his friend. I want to be her friend. I'm telling you, when they go home, the house is fucked up already. From the grave, the house is fucked up. I'm turning over pots. I'm opening and slamming motherfucking refrigerator doors. I'm shaking the... I'm tearing the mini blinds down. I'm doing all kinds of shit. I'm pulling the hair, dragging you. I'm doing all kinds of shit. I'm gonna run your ass, slap crazy.
You pulling tracks out of people's hair in the sleep?
I'm pulling tracks out. I'm doing all kinds of shit.
Girl, I just got my hair done yesterday and my track already out. Pulling
I'm telling you, I'm gonna flip the whole motherfucking mattress over while y'all ass in the bed. Sleep 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm talking about just it was just horrible. I mean, and that hug and the way he was hugging her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's just tragic because here you have a scenario where an innocent life has been lost.
Right.
You know, they weren't out in the public doing anything. They were having a private moment, just enjoying themselves at home. And someone comes in and kills them. And it's like both sides, the plaintiff, the defendant, both sides, nobody has taken into consideration that a life has been lost. It's like a little circus. The judicial system, I can't even, I don't know whether you have faith in them like you would want to and feel like that they make decisions that bring justice to innocent person, but it's just tragic to me because no one is valuing both sides.
Right.
This is the case. Both sides are not valuing the life that has been lost.
Yeah, except for the except for the friends. The friends is like, if you get out in 10 years, we gonna come back and we gonna come and find you. That's how people are. Now, we've gone through the shooting, the charges, the sentence, the foolishness afterwards. And you would think this would be the end of all of this. But it is not. Because all of a sudden,
right,
the key witness is murdered days after the sentencing.
And that's sad, too, because he moved out of that apartment complex because he didn't want to live there where someone had been killed. And then ends up being murdered.
He went to, after the whole shooting thing went down, he went to California. But they told him, you got to bring your ass back. You either going to come back or we're going to put you in jail. So he comes back. And, you know, gives his testimony and everything like that. And then days after the woman is sentenced and is well off on her way to prison or whatever, he's shot in the head. He's shot in the chest and shot in the mouth. To me, that's execution style, and that's sending a message. Now, they have allegedly found...
Wait, let's not go there first. We've got to play out this scenario first. So, before you go there, because you was about to do a Lisa. Okay. So they done found him dead. Now, we in the news. Everybody is like, what? After you testify, you done died? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, basically, somebody done killed you that's associated with this chick.
Right.
Or the police department, somebody has taken you out because of your mouth.
Right.
So let's play that. Let's go through that.
Yeah, I mean, that's him being shot in the mouth. Who the hell else? Who the hell else would do that? Shoot him in the mouth and shoot him in the chest. I mean, if you would have just said, okay, well, he was found shot in the chest, it would still raise a brow. But the fact that he was shot in his mouth as well as the chest, that's sending a message.
It is.
That,
right.
That seems personal.
Yes.
Right.
You talk too much, bitch.
Oh, I'm sorry. Pretty much.
That's what I'm saying. You talking too much, bitch. You done said too much. Let me shut your ass up.
So, shot him in the mouth. And so
then didn't they insinuate that he was drug dealing?
Oh, wait, time out. Now, Julian, you can finish. Now you can go to the next.
Well,
because Lisa doesn't then, over to it. That, okay.
Right. Now we have this public outrage because people are like, oh, hell no. We ain't going for that. $100,000 cash reward for anybody who know anything. There was talk of someone say that they saw a four-door sedan leaving the scene or however. So people are like, hell no, we want $100,000 cash. Well, lo and behold, out of the clear blue skies, it comes out, they found the shooters. This was a drug deal.
Yeah, not one bad. Shooter.
Two.
Not two shooters. Three.
Three shooters.
Right, it was two got caught and one was still on the run.
Yeah, so there's three suspects now. All of a sudden, the newspapers read, when Mr. Brown was killed, he had $4,100 worth of cash, 149 THC cartridges, and a couple pounds of marijuana. Now this comes out. Now, this man been shot a couple days ago. They done already went through his house. Did they say anything about that?
Then
when y'all find these three people, now it's drugs.
Well, he had, a lot of people don't know, and this didn't come out during the trial, he was shot a year ago at a club in Texas.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
He was shot before.
And they also alleged that he felt like that wasn't the initial shooting in Texas, that the person was still going to come back and try to get him.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
It was an assassination attempt back then.
Yeah.
Because it happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So, just a very sad and despicable, just all the way around the board. My heart goes.
Because a lot of dirt was pushed up under the rug. That's basically
right. At the end, Mr. Gene is deceased, and his death is not even just a mere piece. Like, there's nothing of it. His life don't even exist anymore because it is so much drama to this case that you can't even just celebrate his life. You can't celebrate man because it's just just filth all over it.
And the fact that this girl could possibly be released from prison, And under five to six years?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
And they're going to be there with open arms welcoming her back into society. And again, this man's life that is gone with so much promise is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Horrible. Just horrible. Horrible.
Y'all, we could just not let this week go by with not bringing this story up in its entirety because, you know, we don't normally do serious topics, but this one just like really, 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 really just rubbed me in like every wrong spot there is to be rubbed in.
This was just you know. It was in your face. It was in your face. Yes, she went in his home because I don't care what anybody says. Had those roles been reversed, a black police officer would not get the benefit of the doubt. He could not. Right. And think about this for a moment. This is what nobody's addressing. Think about this for a second. We see all these unarmed cases of white police officers, whatever, period, shooting unarmed black men and women. But you have never heard of a case of a black man, a black police officer, shooting an unarmed white man or woman.
Right.
You know why?
Right.
Because they know better. You know, you ain't getting the benefit of the doubt. That Walter, you know, that Walter Scott case in South Carolina, that could not have been that police officer could not have been black, and that man running from him been white. Same thing with the Botham Jean. Yeah, same thing with the Botham. Botham Jean could not have been a police officer, and that girl Amber been a regular pedestrian, a regular citizen sitting in her house eating a bowl of Cheerios on a Friday night, and he come in and shoot her, and his ass would have been indicted on the way to jail. He would have been indicted.
That's true.
We ain't talking about 10 years in prison. I'm sorry, sir. Nigga, we looking at the death penalty. You don't worry about the years. We looking at death. We talking death penalty here. That's what we talking about. So it just the systematic racism that is just in your face every day, and the fact that, again, and I hate to keep going back to this, but that judge, that just, you know what, I equate that judge coming off her bench, going out of her way to hug this woman who had murdered this young man in cold blood. I equate that to back in 65 when Medgar Evers got assassinated. When Medgar Evers was assassinated in Mississippi in 1965, I think it was 65. When he was assassinated, the fucking governor of Mississippi came in the courtroom and shook the man's hand who shot him. That's how I felt when I saw that.
Yes.
That's exactly how I felt. You mean to tell me she killed this man in cold blood, and you gonna come off the bench and give her a hug and pray with her and give her a Bible, and then you make a statement? You said that the only regret you feel is that she had to ask you twice. That's despicable.
Shame on her.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Shame on the whole damn situation, man. This is just tragic.
Yeah.
But we about to be done with this. Because we know that it's not going to get any better. And that this man has lost his life.
Right.
And the value of it diminishes every time something else related to this case happens that has nothing to do with this man being deceased. Every time we turn around, it's something else added to it. It's like it's never ending. So I hope that man is, I hope that Mr. Gene is able to rest in peace. Because they've made a mockery of his life.
Right.
So on that note, y'all, all this serious stuff, we're going to be done. We're going to be out. And we're going to see y'all next Thursday with something fun feel. Because, boy, we done drained the energy and the life up out of this one.
Yeah.
So until next time, listeners of Naturally Unbothered, we shall talk to y'all later.
Yeah, peace out.
Peace.